This is Dating While Gray, the grown-up's guide to love, sex, and relationships. I'm Laura Stassi, and I've been avoiding exploring how artificial intelligence can help with romance seeking. Until now, that is. Coming up, a little love help from my AI friend. Here's a confession. When I'm sitting at my desk and supposed to be writing, my mind sometimes wanders to things like my favorite 1980s primetime soap opera. And then I start wondering, who was that actor who played that guy with a drinking problem who cheated on his wife? So then I type into the Google search bar, Knots Landing cast of characters, and voila, photos and names pop up, and I find the answer to my question. Ted Shackelford, now 78 years old. The character's name was Gary, now I remember. So this example may not be the most significant question I've posed to AI, but frankly, it's the kind of interaction I feel most comfortable with. Personally, when it comes to AI, I want to keep some guardrails up. Of course, I know AI is used on the dating platforms, typically in the form of algorithms that analyze our preferences and activity so they can suggest appropriate matches. In fact, dating coaches often advise us to switch up our online photos and increase our swiping and mate searching to kind of spur on the algorithm to regularly offer us fresh options. Recently, I got a press release about a relatively new app called Iris Dating. It uses AI to determine who we find attractive and then sends us real-life options. So my first thought was that AI was somehow looking into our eyes. You know how the iris responds to attraction by causing our pupils to dilate. Turns out that's not what they're doing. I called the founder to learn more.
Igor Kalishin, founder of Ideal Match.
It's Ideal Match?
The company is called Ideal Match. The product is Iris Dating.
Okay. And what prompted you to explore AI as a dating business model?
Unlike maybe many people who recently just woke up on the power of AI and said to themselves, oh my God, let me jump on that bandwagon. I'm interested in AI for the last 20 years. This was my passion, you know, and I was always interested in the way brain works, and especially when it comes to attraction. And so we started this in 2019, way before anybody was talking about AI in a large scale.
I looked at the video and it says there are three types of attraction, lust, attachment, and true attraction. And Iris Dating is operating on the premise that a successful relationship starts with true attraction. Not necessarily that attraction can grow. Is that correct?
Attraction can always grow. But typically what happens, you see somebody you are attracted to and then you want to explore more about that person. Now, strong attraction is extremely rare, especially strong mutual attraction. It's one in a million, mathematically speaking. So a lot of people tell themselves that it's a fantasy, it's not achievable, and therefore you have to learn to appreciate other things. So for women, for example, they may not be attracted to a man in terms of true attraction or facial attraction, but they will tell themselves, well, he has a good sense of humor, you know, he's a good person. Some will say he's financially stable, so he'll support my children. Is that attraction? It's a compatibility, right?
Okay, uh-huh.
That's a compatibility type of attraction. It's not true attraction. However, it's a sensitive subject because it's a tough reality to admit, even to yourself. Right?
Sure.
Like you compromised a little bit along the way there.
Mm-hmm. Let's say I wanted to sign up. How do I teach AI what I'm attracted to physically?
So after you go through the basic registration, it will show you a series of stock photos. Your job will be to rate them, basically, to say, I don't like them. And so you give it a pass, or you give it a maybe if the person is okay, but does not take your breath away. And then you give it a like if attraction is strong. So there will be three phases of that training. Phase one will just show you random photos, you go through the process. In phase two, After you rate approximately 10-15 photos, you'll notice a difference. You start noticing that you see more and more attractive people. And this is happening because AI starts to understand your type and suggest more people of your type. And it's as simple as that. By the end of the process, AI knows your type.
And then iris dating shows me actual people based on what they've decided is my type or what I've trained them as my type. Is that
correct?
Right?
Correct. And also what's especially, I would say, amazing, because everybody goes through the same process of training. We know everybody's taste. So iris can also not just find your type, but also check if the person is attracted to you as well.
So it's like a mutual connection.
Mutual. Which is extremely rare. In real life, it's impossible, basically. Probability of something is 1 in 1,000,000. You can say it's possible. The same way you can say that it's possible to win a lottery. Nobody will dispute that. We've seen those cases, correct? But it's the same level of probability. So iris is the one who is changing those odds because it can scan people automatically. If you try to scan, a million people, it will take you 30 years if you do it, 100 people a day.
Sure. And does it work for older people? I mean, I'm thinking I could see this as an interesting experiment for, people under 30.
Why would you think that for age 50 and older, anything is different? Like anything when it comes to dating. Like I think you're putting some barrier in front of you, but it does not exist in nature.
Well, probably. I've just done this show for many years now, and I've heard from a lot of older daters, and a lot of us are saying what we're attracted to has changed over time, and it's not just a visceral physical attraction anymore, and that it's really difficult to look at a picture and decide whether that's somebody that we would want to go out with.
Not true. Science does not support that. 100-year-old person and 16-year-old person have the same type, which stays with them because it's in their DNA. It comes from our ancestors. Whom they chosen as a partner, which climate they lived in, etc. We have our own specific type. And that does not change. If you see a person of your type, which matches your type very strongly, your brain will release those chemicals. Now, regarding sexual attraction, things may change a bit when you're 100, because it has to do with estrogen and testosterone. But in terms of dopamine, serotonin, the facial attraction or the true attraction, nothing changes. Now, if this person is gorgeous, my heart is beating. Now, what you're going to do about it when you're 20 as opposed to 90s could be different strategies there.
But sure.
What I'm indicating is that your attraction is there.
I'm assuming it wants to know if I'm interested in women or men. And is it interested in what age group I'm looking for and geographic location?
It's a great question. Yes, it wants to know if you're looking for men or women. And we do ask what age group you're looking for. We recommend that when you put the bracket, do not put it small. Like, for example, some older people will say, I'm 60, therefore it's not appropriate for me to search for 18 to whatever, right? It's societal norms and things like that, right? After iris finds you real people, you can put age brackets there and only date specific age brackets, but do not restrict yourself when AI is trying to determine your type, because you will be shooting yourself in the foot a little bit.
Tech entrepreneur and iris founder Igor Kalashin. He recommends app users not put in age restrictions, but to see where, quote, true attraction leads you. He says their approach helps ensure everyone on the site is who they say they are, no catfishers. And Igor says there are 4 million users worldwide and growing. That's compared to about 15 million users worldwide on the Match Group apps. So if we're going on physical attraction alone, I suppose it might not hurt to have AI help me figure out or confirm my type. But what about using AI to strike up conversations and go on dates? I read a New York Times article about a reporter who basically created and trained an AI clone of himself. And then his clone had online conversations with other clones and with real people to narrow down his list of potential dating partners. Okay, this is way out of my comfort zone. But as one great dater tells me, I shouldn't necessarily shun all personal dating-related use of AI. Tell you more after a brief break. Hi, everyone. Laura here. As a journalist on the Older Love Beat, one of my most reliable sources is Sibley Memorial Hospital's annual Sex and Aging Conference. I've learned so much, and in a full circle moment, this year, I'm honored to be one of the speakers. I'll be talking about, what else, dating at our age. I'll also be taking your questions. The conference is on Saturday, February 22nd, from 12:30 to 5 p.m. Eastern. It's over Zoom, so you can participate from home, your favorite coffee shop, or wherever you're most comfortable. Also on the speaking roster are two terrific experts whose names may sound familiar to you from past Dating While Gray episodes, sexuality counselor Catherine Ellis and men's health expert Dr. Arthur Burnett, Johns Hopkins. It's a full day, and you won't want to miss a minute of it. Best of all, it's free, though pre-registration is requested. Again, that's Sibley Memorial Hospital's annual Sex and Aging Conference, Saturday, February 22nd, from 12:30 to 5 p.m. Eastern. You can find more information, along with the link to register, on the events tab at datingwhilegray.com. I'll be looking for you. We're back with Dating While Gray and a little love help from my AI friend. I'm Laura Stassi. And it seems like lately, every time I set out to write the e-newsletter or a LinkedIn post, I get a prompt asking if I want help from AI. Call me overdramatic, maybe even paranoid, but I find this suggestion outrageous. I'm a writer, for heaven's sakes. I don't want or need robotic help. But then when I calm down, I remember that I consider myself open-minded and capable of change. So that's why when I heard about a woman recalling MA, I wanted to talk. MA is in her early 60s, has been married once, and divorced for almost 15 years now. She is very comfortable with technology, unlike me.
I will say, number one, we're around the same age, and I don't have very many friends who don't feel the way you do. I think it can be very intimidating, and the hyperbole you're hearing about it, and there's a lot of fear around it. Just like when you look back, when the internet first was discovered and launched, people had a lot of fears about that technology, as much as we're having around AI. But putting that on the back burner, I very much was an early adopter of AI. And as soon as it came out, I immediately tried to sign up for the free version of it and was on a wait list for a short amount of time. But I've been using it, I would say, close to 2 years now. I should keep count one day just how many times a day I get on ChatGPT or Copilot, because, Laura, those are specifically the only two that I use. And Microsoft's Copilot is the AI assistant, just like Siri on your phone. It's the same sort of technology. The more you use it, it's machine learning, so it gets better and better and better and better. And then I also use ChatGPT, which is another AI tool, but it's more conversational. At first, I would never have thought of using them for dating online.
So how were you using them?
You know, find me the best flight to LA. Any question that came up when I had surgery, what's the normal course of surgery for blah, blah, blah? You know, I was doing online dating at this point, and a gentleman wanted to get on a call. And my philosophy, which might be different than yours, is that I'm not into a call when we live so close. My philosophy is, let's just meet in person. A lot of time people aren't good on the phone. Now we've all gotten away from talking on the phone, right? Because of texting. So that was my preference. But I didn't know how to quite say that without sounding rigid or odd or just unusual. So I got on Copilot and I said, make this sound more flirtatious and inviting. And I wrote exactly what I would have written in the text. And darn if it didn't like really sound much more flirtatious. And it wasn't off-putting, like the words and the way in which I would have spun it was not nearly as inviting as Copilot did for me. And that's when I really thought, wow, like there's a business in this of teaching people Copilot and ChatGPT and how to use it for online dating.
I think it's funny that your mind immediately went to this is a business rather than, oh, I can be more successful in online dating.
Over time, then I realized how much more successful I could be. But I also don't want to say that this goes on and on and on. I only use it a handful of times before I say, look, let's meet in person or let's video chat or whatever. I don't keep it in this sort of, if you will, seduction process for long. Yeah. That's not exactly the right tempo, but friends have asked me, do I feel deceptive? And I said, no, I really don't feel deceptive because it's not like this is 2 months worth of me using AI to finally meet somebody in person. It just makes up for, I feel like, some blind spots around who I am interpersonally.
Do you have an example of something that you wrote that then you liked the way it sounded better that you're willing to share?
So I will share this one because I just gave the example. Let me tell you what Copilot wrote for me.
Okay.
When I went in and asked it to sound more flirty and inviting, but that I really didn't necessarily, you know, want to talk by phone when he's 3 miles away from where I live.
Uh-huh.
This was the response when I asked it that. And Copilot said, hello, I must confess, I find the allure of meeting in person far more tantalizing than the rigidity of video calls or phone calls. There's an electric chemistry that sparks when our eyes look across a room, don't you think? Let's bypass the digital formalities and dive into the unscripted magic of face-to-face encounters. What do you say? Wink, wink.
Can I see that for a second?
Yeah.
Allure of meeting. Okay, tantalizing, the rigidity of video calls, electric chemistry, which is kind of redundant.
Mm.
And I think it's interesting because they're suggesting you use a winky face emoji.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a second winky face emoji or is that... I can't tell whether that's supposed to be.
I really don't know what that is. Maybe okay. A star?
And I'm assuming the fact that you wanted to use AI to write, Do you not normally feel comfortable with writing?
Mm. I mean, I studied radio journalism, actually.
Oh!
So no, I do feel comfortable writing, but I will tell you that studying radio journalism made me write in a very condensed way. And that, Laura, has gotten me into... not trouble, but it's not gotten me the result I want because I was taught to write like a radio journalist.
Succinct and...
Yes, the opposite of what I just read you. Now, Laura, let me tell you, I don't take this and cut and paste it. I do have to edit.
Massage a little bit.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there are words here, you're right. Electric chemistry? Come on. You know, like, no, but it does give me a better place to start. I mean, you have to look at it. You have to massage it, make it more of my own voice. But again, if you're not great at the art of flirtation, then this is at least a helping hand.
Right.
Right. And that's what I think online dating becomes, is people get so stuck because something's not right in the tempo, or they're great communicators in person, but they're not as effective online or whatever, or they're too brainy and they don't know how to flirt. But if you got to the stage of meeting, you might really have chemistry. It's just another tool, but I think it's a worthwhile tool because it gives you, again, a place to start when your mind is fixed on the way you write to begin with.
Have you used them in writing a profile?
Right before you came, I just went in out of curiosity and asked it to write me a profile. And if you want, I can read it for you.
I would love for you to read it, yes.
So, about me. Outdoor enthusiast who feels most at home on a gravel bike trail or exploring new hiking routes. By day, I'm a consultant. By night, I'm dreaming of life in Europe, great coffee, and finding a partner who's up for a healthy, adventurous lifestyle. If you love the idea of chasing sunsets, discovering hidden gems, or just having great conversations, let's connect.
Okay, that's good. I have to say, I think that's really good.
Exactly me. That was with no prompt. But remember, I've been asking it for almost 2 years. Like, I'm a huge gravel biker and I'm a huge outdoor enthusiast. So it knows me well enough to know that that would be important in a partner.
I like the way it's structured. It is succinct.
It is.
But the words they're using not only represent you, but they are also intriguing for me as the listener, or if I were the reader, it would be intriguing. So I would have to say, okay, that's good.
The only thing I will say about that, this is a very narrow scope of male, right? Like what I just read you, if you aren't athletic, if you aren't into dreaming of Europe, it would be too limiting, in my opinion, for an online profile. It's not broad enough.
Going back to the flirtatious one, how was it when you met face to face? Was it awkward in any way?
Oh, I mean, I've done this several times, so there's not like one story to reference right here. But I'm socially much better in person, and I can be a bit more flirtatious. Again, that is not in my writing style. So generally, I would say that using AI has gotten me to the next step in the process or the spectrum of dating, let's say.
Yeah.
But yeah, my preference is not to talk on the phone. It's to either video if we're not geographically close. But if we're close, I'm not going to spend a lot of time continuing along that process.
Okay, so be honest, because we're not using your real name. Have you ever, on a video chat, had your phone somewhere hidden and said, just a minute?
No. Okay. No, because I think I am better live.
Okay. So expressing yourself is easier, even when it's just in the moment, as opposed to putting it down on paper or typing it out and sending
it
that way.
Yes, and again, because I studied radio journalism, you know, a lot of my consulting is social media, which again, short, crisp, concise. You can't hold people's attention for long. That's a driving force throughout my career is writing like that, which has served me well, but not in this milieu, you know. It writes more solicitous than I could ever. You know, at a certain age, you know yourself and you know your strengths and weaknesses. You know, there is a way, again, in which I write that is just, it is just, it's not.
I think I know what you mean, because I always pride myself. I'm like, I'm not only open, but I feel like I'm really direct.
Yes.
And I feel like sometimes that directness can be off-putting.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. It's too direct. Or like a guy friend of mine always says, keep it light. Don't go heavy right off. Light, light, light.
And to be clear, you're using it on regular dating sites, because I have been approached by people who have these dating sites where the bots date each other.
It's not chat bot.
Yeah.
No, I want to be clear. That's not what I'm doing at all. The more I learn about that, the more it scares me, or just not scares too strong a word, but I am not interested in that.
And you use your own pictures. You don't use
for sure.
Avatars or...
Yeah, no, this is not deceptive. It is a way to allure that I am not able to do.
It's like if you have a broken leg, you put a cast on it.
I like that.
I mean, that's very, very simplistic.
Right.
But you're using it as a crutch.
Right.
But you're using it to help you.
Again, if you said to me, how many times do I use it before I meet with somebody? Maybe three times. I wouldn't even know if it's three. Because I think for me, and the way in which I am and who I am intrapersonally, is that either we're going to meet or we're not going to meet. And if it doesn't happen by a certain tempo, I'm not interested. I've got a million friends. I don't need this to go on and on and on. But again, that's where AI can help me to get to that goal quicker.
Right. No, I'm just wondering if somebody's ever said to you something along the lines of, okay, wow, you express yourself so much better. I can really relate to you so much better when we're conversing by the written word as opposed to talking face to face.
I mean, I'm sure people that are listening to this podcast have been in contact with people who write beautifully and they get face to face and they're not great. I think conversely, both can happen for people.
You know how when you get a new car and you think it's really different, but then every time you're out driving, you see another car just like yours? That's how I felt while scripting this episode. I read about one of my local wine shops. It was scheduled to be featured in a Super Bowl commercial. The owners talk about using AI to write their newsletters. And before that, my favorite guilty pleasure listening, the Elliot in the Morning radio show, had a caller who described using ChatGPT on dating apps. He said it helps him keep track of who's who, since he can be talking to maybe 7 women at a time. But he's great face-to-face because he, quote, knows how to woo a lady. My mind may be open, but that doesn't mean I'm changing my habits. So, if you think I'm going to end this episode by asking AI to come up with a good closer, nope, it ain't happening. I'll just borrow some of MA's ChatGPT lingo and say I hope we all find the electric chemistry we desire on our own or with some artificial help. Dating While Gray's audio production and mix is by Steve Lack Audio. Theme music by Dee Peterschmidt. Please like and follow Dating While Gray wherever you get podcasts. That way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're so inclined, leave a review letting everyone know what you love about us. For more on the show, check out datingwhilegray.com. That's where you can find bonus content, along with links to send me questions, comments, tips, and true stories through email and voicemail. You know I love hearing from you. You can also sign up for the free Dating While Gray e-newsletter, delivered most Fridays to your inbox. Again, that's all at datingwhilegray.com. I'm Laura Stassi. Thanks so much for listening.